At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make some noise. It's Making Monsters with Taylor Dahl. It's like beer and brats, a perfect combination.
You know the deal.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Making Monsters. Football season is back. I'm pumped. It's been what feels like a very long off season. A lot of things happening in Chicago, but we are here to do our Chicago Bears and Tennessee Titans preview, as now the game is on Sunday. So we're talking today, former NFL safety Blaine Bishop. He was a safety for the Oilers, Titans, however you want to consider it, but Pro Bowler, All Pro, all of the things. So Blaine, thanks so much for hopping on with me.
Appreciate you having me on, Taylor. Hopefully we have a good time and our Titans win.
No. let's start playing with, I think, to me, which is probably the bigger storylines between both of the teams. Will Levis, which let's just say the quarterbacks, because Will Levis, you know, last year, 9 starts, had a little over 1,800 yards, 9 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. So from the Tennessee Titans perspective, let's start there. What were the expectations, some of the things that maybe you felt like Will Levis needed to work on this offseason, and some of the things that you felt like he did well last year?
Well, naturally, he got in there under Vrabel's system, and he showed that he had all the arm talent in the world, which was, you know, not as surprising, but the fact that he got in the game early in the season, and then he kind of was like a gunslinger, and he liked the deep ball. You know, all you ladies love the home run ball and the deep ball. He definitely had that. So he showed that he was tough. He would scramble around, took some shots, dove up in the air and did some, you know, incredible things. So you thought, okay, he has some potential. How can we hone that in? And with the change of the head coach and bringing in Callahan, who's an offensive guy, quarterback guy, he has now refined that and taken what the defense gives you, going through his progression reads. And now if you have to do the swing pass or the dink and dunk, he's showing more patience. So interested to see, you know, all through the preseason, offseason, they added some receivers, some playmakers for him. Can he then put it all together, and how quickly can they do that with him? I think he has all the tools. Now it's about, you know, executing in a live game and then doing it on a consistent basis. So I think they firmly believe that he potentially can be a franchise quarterback, and he shall see, you know, starting with the Bears, and, you know, they got a solid team, let alone a solid defense. So that's who he'll be facing. So see if he can execute right off the bat with a lot of new pieces.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. We've heard guys like Pete Prisco are very high on Will Levis. He was there in Tennessee and got to see him firsthand during camp. And Pete was very high on Pete Prisco. I mean, on Will Levis, and kind of expects a big step from him here in year two. So on the reverse side, obviously, Caleb Williams, Bears drafting him first overall, taking over this offense. But honestly, there's a lot of new pieces on this offense too. They go out and they get Keenan Allen. They draft Rome Odunze. They get DeAndre Swift. They get Gerald Everett. And that's in addition to guys like Cole Kmet and DJ Moore, who have kind of really solidified their roles on the Bears offense. So from the Tennessee perspective, from everything you've heard and game plans and things like this going into Chicago, how much of a concern is the offense, or do they think there will be some hiccups for Caleb Williams?
Well, I mean, with all those weapons and man, you know, I think the Titans respect everything that the Chicago Bears have added, let alone, you know, unproven, but number one pick, Caleb Williams, who in preseason, which I watched all the games of him in preseason, showed a lot of promise. Hey, he is scary to watch. And I'm sure the Bears are excited, the Bears fan base. And, man, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, first time him going against the speed of the game in a regular season game. Can he be on time? Can he make plays on time, throwing the football? Or is he going to ad-lib? You know, I even kind of looked at some of the statistical numbers as far as analytics. And, you know, sometimes he holds on to the football. So I'm interested to see if he'll be able to scramble around and do some of the things he did in college as well as in the pros. But he's built for it. He seems like he's a pro already. When I say that, I'm talking about prepared. Like, even with some hiccups, which he's going to have as a rookie quarterback, he looks like he has the mental fortitude and the strength to overcome those, and it won't rattle him. So those are all dangerous, especially from a Titans perspective. But hopefully they show him something that he hasn't seen, and then they kind of dupe him into a bad throw. And that can maybe be the difference in the game. Hopefully, but they have weapons all over the place. Swift is a proven quality player in the National Football League. So, and with the tight ends as well as receivers, it's gonna be a tough task going into Chicago with all the hype around Caleb Williams and the fan base all pumped up about, you know, what he can bring to the table. He may be what, the best quarterback since, I don't know, Cutler. I don't even know. I mean, so I understand all of that. You know, you got to know that you're going in here for a battle, and all the odds are against you if you're the Tennessee Titans. So the pressure's on the Bears. So you play loose and fast and see how it all plays out. But, you know, whenever you bring in two different teams together, they're added different pieces. You mm-hmm. want to know who can gel the soonest. And chemistry is real big for me and having, you know, to excel as a team. And sometimes that'll take, you know, 5-6 games into the season before it all clicks together and they're on the same page. So they're both in the same situation. So it's a fair battle. So I'm hoping they can get one big one on the road, because every, you know, Vegas is picking against the Titans, and I think, you know, they're used to that. So it's going to be a good one though. They better get off to a fast start, and hopefully they can get some turnovers from Caleb Williams.
No, we're not wanting that, Blaine. We don't want any. let's talk about, we're talking about all the weapons the Bears got this offseason. And I want to start with the biggest change for the Tennessee Titans. And that's the loss of Derrick Henry. I personally am a big Tony Pollard fan. When the chatter around the league was, you know, all of these running backs coming up and who's going to get paid, and running backs aren't getting paid anymore, and all of this talk was going on, Pollard, I think, to me, since he had to take over for Zeke when Zeke was hurt, and then throughout the time kind of battling for his spot, has been able to prove that he can be a running back in the NFL at a high and consistent level. It's not Derrick Henry's a whole other animal when we're talking about it, but what has camp so far looked like without a Derrick Henry and with a new guy like Tony Pollard?
Well, as talented as Derrick Henry was, it was a little frustrating at times because we didn't have the offensive line that he needed to, you know, sometimes it was like running to a brick wall. And he was a big back and he could do that. But I was ready for change. I spoke about that on my radio show, you know, 104.5 The Zone. And, you know, I like the versatile backs. Being a former defensive player, you want the players to have multiple talents. That way you can't game plan. When Derrick Henry was in the game, you knew they were going to run the freaking football. Or are they going to play action pass? And, I mean, and most of the time, you know, they just ran the football. And he is that talented. But at some point when it's not working, sometimes a sharp passing game can work. So with Tony Pollard added, I love what they did with him. And that was the first free agent signing by Rand Carthon. So that shows you he thought just like you did, that he's a very talented player. And then he went to college at Memphis. So we know all about him and who he is. And then combined with Tajay Spears there that they drafted last year from Tulane in the third round, both versatile backs, you know, smaller backs when you're talking about Derrick Henry to them, but, you know, they're 5'11", 5'10 guys who are, you know, scat backs that can, you know, hit the hole really hard running between the tackles, but they also can flank out and run routes. And that's what you like in versatility in their game. So I really think that they're going to be different, but also better for the Titans in this philosophy and scheme with the added additions of Tyler Boyd and Ridley as a deep threat. Man, he can go. So I really like what, you know, head coach Callahan has brought to the table with some of the weapons that he's brought in.
Yeah, when we're talking about the weapons in general, obviously I also cover the Jaguars. You know that. I've talked to you on Helmets and Heels before. So Calvin Ridley mm-hmm. being here, we saw the ability and what it was almost an off season, like a bad season for Calvin. He still got 1,000 yards. So Calvin Ridley is one of those guys that he's going to get the yards. He had some issues last year learning the playbook, being in the right spot. There was a lot of that type of stuff, but he hadn't played for 2 years. And that was kind of my thing of, you know, Ridley now has been back into the NFL for a season. And unfortunately for Jags fans, he may end up getting that little extra boost and comfortability in Tennessee. But other people joke about it and they're like, oh, they, you know, it's the retirement home of the NFL type of thing because it's Hopkins and Calvin and all of these guys. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's a bunch of guys that can do a lot of things, proven guys in the NFL. And it gives Will Levis a little bit of comfortability factor and a little bit of we got you, because these are guys that are very seasoned in the NFL. So it will be interesting to watch this offense kind of develop. And to your point, when they never had an offensive line to help Derrick Henry, they've now invested in that. Last year getting Peter Skoronski, this year getting J.C. Latham. Have you noticed that in camp already, this offensive line looking better in Tennessee?
Yeah, the offensive line looks a whole lot better, not just by the draft pick, but also by the coaching. You know, head coach Callahan brought in his father, who's one of the best offensive line coaches in the NFL. And he had all these different techniques he was teaching the players during, let's say, OTAs, which was called Big Bertha. And it was some other name in this sled that he had that it would make you stay low and drive blocks. So it was really interesting to watch that whole transformation of them, you know, the players learning how to block Big Bertha. So that was hilarious just on that aside alone, but it was serious too at the same time. So
yeah,
I think they figured out. And then the right side, you had Petit Ferrer, who was injured all offseason, didn't practice. And then the guard spot was Dylan Raiders, who was a top pick, you know, second round pick, you know, 4 years ago, but kind of never found a home and finally showed his oats now. So they, hopefully for them, you know, they're thinking that they've gotten their line together to a certain extent, at least for this year, and to see and bringing in Cushenberry from Denver Broncos at the center spot really kind of solidified all of that. So hopefully they come together in jail. You know, when it's the offensive line, this is an entrance league, and so goes your offense and defensive line. So goes your team. And I think they have the guys. Now it's about, okay, how quickly do they get up to speed to the NFL level and play like that on a consistent basis? So it's going to be interesting, you know. And we talked about Pollard. Well, he came off an injury last year or 2 years ago with the high ankle deal. And then last year he was just good. He wasn't as explosive. Then hopefully we think we reward just like Ridley and get some really great players in their prime that's coming off, you know, 2 years ago missing games to now being back in the NFL and back into the flow, into the rhythm of things. And that's what offense is about. It's about rhythm and flow. So hopefully they got the rhythm and flow enough to beat the Bears.
Yeah, we talk about the offensive line, obviously, a lot in Chicago. Justin Fields got sacked 100 times in 2 seasons. And what? some of that's on Justin Fields. A lot of it was on the offensive line. But there were just some bad moments. And honestly, Blaine, a lot of it to me was just not being able to stay healthy. They had 10, 11, 12 different formations on their offensive line in 2 seasons because nobody could stay on the field. Right now, all starting five are healthy. Looks like all starting five will be out there, but it's been kind of that Achilles heel of the Bears of just not being able to stay healthy there. And that trickle down, you know, better than anyone, of how that offensive line not performing well affects all levels of your offense. So I want to flip over to the defense. I don't want to keep you too long, so I do want to chat the defense a little bit. Obviously, Jeffrey Simmons, he's a beast. We know he's a beast. He's someone, he can talk the talk, he can walk the walk. He made the comments about Caleb Williams' fingernails being painted, and now there's this whole thing about...
What did he say? What did he say about that? I didn't hear that one.
On a podcast about something about... I wish I had the exact quote. I'll have to find it. But something about getting to Caleb and he'll be worried about his fingernails being painted or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a little jab. Just a little trash.
Yeah. No doubt.
But, you know, obviously him. You drafted Tavondre Sweat. Ernest Jones, big signing. I mean, big trade that the Tennessee Titans just got. This guy knows how to get to the quarterback. He knows how to do a little bit of everything. What does it look like for you on that defensive front? I do want to get to the secondary, too. That's obviously your specialty. But that defensive front, what does it look like right now, just so far, what you've seen in camp, preseason? How confident are you in that group?
Well, you got Landry, who's a 10 sack guy. And then you got Arden Key, who's kind of more probably fit for a rotational player, but he's been starting, holding the fort there most of the time. And he's a quality player in the NFL. And then you got Sweat, who's a big, massive human being, who's going to take up two blockers. And he's shown also he can get after the quarterback, which was surprising by most here when they drafted him because of his size. But when you go watch tape for him at Texas, he got after quarterback. It just didn't result into numbers. His pressures were high volume. So he's a really good player. He's showing he's coming into shape to play more than just two downs. I think that'll, come to, the forefront, especially this first game. A lot of guys are going to be trying to get in shape in game because nobody's played four quarters. I'm sorry. Until you play four quarters or even with the Bears, are you in shape? I mean, especially that first. I mean, man, I remember, I'm like, oh, my gosh, am I breathing? I can't breathe. And it's hot, too. So, all those things are going to happen. So they look pretty good up front. And then the addition of Murray was a first round pick from Oklahoma, but with the Chargers, he's a massive human being, is very athletic and kind of on a freakish level side. So we hopefully they have coached him up into, a level where he should be with his athleticism. And then you talked about Ernest Jones. Well, they traded for him, and I'm not sure he's going to start. When you trade for, let's say, a quarterback, center, middle linebacker, safety, maybe he has enough time, but I'm not sure. I'm not at practice. I don't know if he'll be starting immediately. Because of that, not because of his ability.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be somewhat of a quarterback of the defense, being the middle linebacker. So I don't know how quickly he'll be up to speed on this first game. I think he would have had like a week. Some guys can do that. Some guys can't. I would think that he could, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's kind of just rotating with Gibby there this first game just to get acclimated a little bit and make sure he's on the same page as everybody else, being that he is the play caller and he's got the green dot. So that'll be interesting. And then, if you want to filter out to the secondary, we got Diggs and Hooker, I think, will be the starters. I think Jamal Adams will be somewhat of a piece of tool that they use in special situations. Yeah. And then corner, man, Awuzie and Snead, who both didn't practice very much during training camp. I think Awuzie had somewhat his calf, so he didn't do too much in training camp. But he's been out there practicing the last couple of weeks. And then Snead, they're managing through, a knee issue. But I think both are going to be available in this game and be starting. And hopefully they'll be up to speed as far as conditioning, as well as ready to play at corner, because you can get exposed quickly at corner in the way they throw the ball. So I think they're in a solid position to be competitive in each and every game, the Titans. After going 6-11 last year. So we shall see. And, the proof is in the pudding, and you got to play games to prove it.
Definitely. And that's what, obviously, you mentioned the Bears defense. The Bears defense, I think the biggest question mark is the pass rush. Montez Sweat is monster. He's insane. The defense completely shifted when he got there. I was just reading some stats of how everything went from like 28th, 30th when it came to the Bears defense. Yep. When Montez came, they were in the top 10 of almost everything when it came to takeaways, when it came to interceptions, when it came to pressures, all of that stuff. So he's a monster. Bears do have questions still on the other side. They don't really. DeMarcus Walker, who you guys are familiar with. He has always been kind of a rotational guy, and he's being counted on right now as that other guy across Montez Sweat, which is a big task. So we will see how that goes. But outside of that, people love Tremaine Edmonds. People love TJ Edwards. Mm-hmm. We also, the secondary with Jalen Johnson just getting a contract, where we love the secondary. So you mentioned how, that's kind of the chatter there, is that people are talking about the Bears defense. Do you think they're talking about the Bears defense maybe a little bit more than the offense, or are there chatter on both sides of the ball?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I think after seeing a lot of guys are talking about, you know, how the transformation of their defense halfway after they got Montez Sweat and how everything changed and they kind of became more of an attacking style, even though they still play the cover two stuff. So that was a lot of chatter, and that they're a proven defense. They're a top 10 defense in the National Football League if they play what they did last year towards the end of the season there, I guess, for 8-week window. So that, you know, so that's pretty impressive. And they got really good secondary, so which matches up with our receivers in D-Hop and Ridley and then Tyler Boyd, who are all veterans in this league and proven. It's a matter of if you can do it game in, game out. So I don't know. The matchups favor, to me, the Bears. They have, more quality players across the board, and the Titans are in a kind of a transition period. I can't say rebuilding, but more transitioning from a different coaching staff and different schemes. So you're going to see how quickly both teams have somewhat of that issue with you guys having a quarterback, which is the most important position on the team. So, I just hope the Titans get off to a fast start, and that'd be hard to do going against a really good defense. I don't know. You think it's going to be a low scoring or high scoring game? I don't know.
I keep going back and forth too, Blaine, because it's the same. And Ryan Poles made a comment about Caleb Williams, and I love the comment because in previous years, I think our quarterbacks had to do so much. They had to play hero ball. Justin Fields, if he didn't make three incredible plays a game, the Bears weren't winning. That's just kind of what ended up happening. And Ryan Poles' comments a couple weeks ago, he said that they built this offense so that Caleb can just, everyone can kind of lift Caleb when he needs it. And when he's ready to unleash, he can unleash, but he doesn't have to be forced to make plays or be the hero for the offense right away. So it will be interesting. Shane Waldron, obviously a new offensive coordinator too, loves his two tight end sets. Loves that setting up play action, loves using his running backs to, you know, in the backfield and also catching the ball, all of those sort of things. But Bears fans have no idea what to expect, because it's just kind of like, I mean, what level is Caleb going to be on? How quickly? And you mentioned it takes some time for these guys to really get on the same page. I will say a fortunate part is that they did have four preseason games, and Caleb played. I mean, and the offense did play in two of them and a good portion of two of them. So they did have a good amount of reps together. But, you know, as good as anyone, you go into that game speed once the regular season starts and you're facing everyone's first stringers, it changes a little bit. So we will see. But I've gone kind of back and forth of, is it going to be a game where these defenses are able to kind of shut down these offenses who are figuring things out? Or are they going to come out flying? Because you mentioned Will Levis can sling the ball. He can get it downfield really easily. And you have a guy like Calvin, who that's his specialty. And then in Chicago, we talk about our receivers. Keenan Allen's one of the best route runners in the league. Rome Odunze led college football in contested catches last year. And then DJ just runs over everyone. Once the ball's in his hand, he's gone. So you have these receivers that can do a little bit of everything. So I think it will be a test for your secondary, but honestly, probably a good test at seeing what level the Titans secondary is at. Final one before I let you go, Blaine, I know you got to leave. So let's just say the keys for you on the Titans side of the ball, what do you think the Titans need to do in this game? Give me like two things that you think could win them the football game.
Well, I think they got to be balanced on offense and be effective in moving the ball, whether it be run by pass or sharp passing game or running the football. I think we want to see what really Callahan's strategy is when things don't work and then you're making your adjustments throughout a game to see what can work. I think that's big. And then on defense, I think they have to really, this may sound elementary, but trick, you know, Caleb Williams. And that means show one thing and then do something else. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is, make him think that you're blitzing. And then all of a sudden you're rolling coverages and your zone blitzing schemes. And he throws one right to you. And the receiver is running something and he's thinking something else. And I think that can be the difference in the game or change the momentum of a game. Naturally, the Bears are favored in this game. So the Titans are going to have to do something to get, you know, some points on the board to put it in their favor, especially at home. And I'd be more curious asking you, what is the fever and the fan fever there about the Bears, because I talk to all the people, and I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana. So I grew up watching the Chicago Bears, being a Bears fan, because the coach didn't move there till I was in almost high school. Yeah. So, the Bears, you know, I watched all the Bears from day one, and I've always been a fan of them. I know how the fans are there. I know they are pumped up. Oh, so the expectations are going to be high. Like, they're like, oh, man, why are we playing the Titans? Why do we get a national game the first game? We're going to blow the Titans out.
I don't know. It's interesting because it's been very back and forth. I've seen some that are like perfect game one, I feel like, because a lot of people are like, you could take advantage of Will Levis. You know, he's still kind of figuring things out. There are a lot of new pieces. And then also there's guys like I just defensively on the Bears when, like I mentioned, the not having pass rush. But Eberflus and Eric Washington have been able to kind of do some quirky things in the preseason. They're sending Kyler Gordon, the nickel corner, blitzing him a ton in the preseason, which
awesome.
I was like,
number six. I watched their preseason. I'm like, man, this guy.
Yeah, I love Kyler Gordon. He just keeps getting better. So like they're finding ways to create a pass rush. But yeah, I think Bears fans also, I've seen some comments on Twitter being like saying the words, I think the Titans might be a sleeping giant, to where maybe we're underestimating some of the things that the Titans have done in the offseason. So there is this weird, I think a little bit of that is a lot of years of trauma in Chicago. If you grew up watching Chicago and cheering for it, you know, like there's always this little bit of cautious optimism because it's been years when you feel like you have everything and you just don't quite get there. And you want to see Caleb. You want to see Caleb Williams out on the field in real games that matter. He lost a lot of games towards the end of his career at USC, including and then got blown out by Notre Dame, which a lot of fans up there are Notre Dame fans. So that's all kind of the game that they always go back to. So we will see. I know Bears fans are pumped, though, because of everybody else. It's the first season that I think ever. I mean, you're talking about Jay Cutler, truly going back to Jay Cutler, where they felt like other people are saying, man, they have a quarterback. Like, this might be real. You should be excited. So it is that I think the level of excitedness, Blaine, but at the same time, there is this like a little bit of nervousness. Like, I made a joke about it on Twitter because Caleb Williams said he does not get nervous. It was his words. He said he hasn't gotten nervous since his freshman year playing high school football. And he said he fumbled the snap three times after that, threw a touchdown, and hasn't gotten nervous since. And I was like, well, good for him, because I'm a nervous wreck thinking about this game on Sunday, just because I think it just is this win, I think, would be massive for Chicago. But I know Tennessee Titans, you guys, AFC South is tough. There's a lot of stuff going on in that division, and you got to win them all, or as many as you can, or it's going to be rough. So it'll be a fun Sunday, Blaine, and I really appreciate you hopping on with me.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And see, what you just said about Caleb Williams being a former pro athlete, that scares me that he said. Remember I said he looked like a seasoned veteran already, and you could tell he is not going to get rattled when he makes a mistake. And that is, you see it. I watched him in college too, yeah, closely, even when he was at Oklahoma, right? Yeah, Oklahoma, then in USC. So, he is special and is already built to be an NFL quarterback. And I mean, he's going to have some up and down, but I just hope he has more downs and ups in this game because it's the first game. I'm glad the Titans are playing like week six. It's like, oh man, this guy, he's got it.
Well, and I think honestly, Bears kind of feel the same way, because by week six, Will Levis could be cruising too. Yes. So I feel like for both teams, there are going to be a lot of questions. It may not be the prettiest game, just because I think there are so many new pieces on each that maybe there is a little bit of stumbling, figuring things out. We don't even know what the kickoff's going to look like at this point.
Oh,
that's a big question mark. So we will see. But Blaine, again, thanks for hopping on with me. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure I'll chat with you more this year.
No doubt about it. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye. All right. So we've got a big one coming up, obviously. And I know it's game one. It's week one. There's a long season ahead. There's a lot of things that can happen. But I just think that when you're looking at a game that's launching this guy that people are talking about being a generational quarterback, and people are comparing already to Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers and all of these things, you want this coming out game to be at home week one, like this fireness, this offense that you've been waiting to see. You go and you get Shane Waldron, you get Keenan Allen, you draft Roma Dunze, being patient, sitting there waiting, and Roma Dunze sitting there just like, here, have him. And it's just building this product that we've been waiting for so long. And Ryan Poles is amazing. I've talked a lot on here, but I've loved everything he's done. But in addition to just the things that he's done for the Bears, he's just an amazing human. And if you watched Hard Knocks on Tuesday, then you know that you saw him, you know, get teary eyed having to cut Colbert. And that's just the type of human he is. And people can mock it all they want, but he's a good guy. And he's built this offense with people who get along well. We're hearing now DJ Moore and Keenan Allen both saying they want to stay in Chicago because they love being here. They love playing for Ryan Poles. They love this, the energy that's in the locker room. And it's just been a long time since we've had any of that. Even in the moments where there was like this hype around Justin Fields, there was always this little like, is it real? Like, we're still waiting. We haven't quite seen it, but here's excuse 1, 2, and 3. And one of my favorite quotes I ever heard is like, you know, kind of figuring out the difference between reasons and excuses. And I think it's really easy sometimes to start making all of these things that you think are reasons the team is leaving. And at the end of the day, when you look back and you find out that maybe you're making some excuses for things, I don't want to have to do that anymore. I want to be able to come out of week one and be looking at this game like, yep, that Caleb's it. And it's going to have some bumps. It's not going to all be perfect. We even go back and we talk about CJ Stroud's year and how incredible his was. I think it was 21 or 23 touchdowns. He wasn't slinging it. He didn't score 30 touchdowns this year, that last year. He just did enough. He won. He had this excitement. There were moments where you're like, oh, that wasn't the greatest play. There was a little bit of hiccups there. There was an overthrow. Those moments are going to happen. So we do have to be patient through those. But at the same time, I don't want to have to, after Sunday, on Sunday night and on Monday, make excuses anymore. I want to be able to say, yep, this product is what this product is. We have all the weapons. You have everything you need. And I mentioned many times too, maybe that the defensive line in general, but the pass rush especially needs a little help. But I think outside of this, you're looking at a roster from top to bottom that if they stay healthy, could battle some of the best in the league. And we're talking about the offensive line with the additions. That's probably one of the weakest ones, but a lot of people are still considering both Tevin and Nate Davis top guards. Like, they're on the PFF rankings, both on the top 32. People are talking about Darnell Wright and his rookie season and how they're expecting even a bigger step. And he still was good last year. Braxton Jones, I think, just gotten better year by year. So those things start to play out. You have Tremaine and you have TJ Edwards, who are both on all of the list of top linebackers because of what they've been able to do in the NFL. And Tremaine Edmonds even had an offseason last year, and he's still, when you go back and look at certain numbers, especially after Montez Sweat joined the Bears, he was good. People avoided his side of the field. They didn't want to throw to Tremaine Edmonds. TJ Edwards is just a baller. Everyone knows that. The secondary, I've said this on my podcast all summer, I think the secondary has a chance to be one of the better ones in the league. So I think we do. The Eric Washington and Flus are going to have to get creative to be able, with these blitzes and with this pass rush, to be able to get to Will Levis. Start rattling Will Levis, make him force some throws that maybe he doesn't really want to throw. Tony Pollard, we just talked about, he had an okay season last year, but that's coming off an injury. So is he 100%? Is he ready to go? All the rust is knocked off. You got to be able to slow that run game down or stop it. If you can take out the run game and really force Will Levis to throw the ball, then that really opens a lot of opportunities for you. But I mentioned it to Blaine that here in Jacksonville, people were not happy with Calvin Ridley. Calvin Ridley was lost a lot of times. He had 1,000 yards, probably should have had 14, 15, but he dropped several passes. He was in the wrong part of the wrong spot, wasn't running the right routes. They had to simplify the playbook for him because he was just not getting it. There was a lot of issues with Calvin last year, and maybe a year under his belt now back in the league has refreshed that. We will see. DeAndre Hopkins is battling an injury all of camp. We'll see how healthy he is. Tyler Boyd's never had to be the guy. He's been behind Jamar Chase and behind T. Higgins and has kind of just always been able to, like, everyone cover them and I'm here. And now he may have to be a little bit more of that guy, especially if Hopkins isn't there. So there's definitely a lot of opportunities for the Bears to win this, but they got to stay healthy. They have to be able to create some pass rush. This defensive backs need to play like we know the defensive backs can get the ball a couple times from Will Levis for some mistakes. And Caleb doesn't have to do too much. Caleb just has to not make mistakes also. But I think also Caleb just needs to vibe with the offense like he's been doing. But when he is ready to unleash, let him unleash. Let him sling that ball. Let him get it to roam deep in the corner, along the sideline, whatever he needs to do, because those are the moments that fuels Caleb. And if you watched Hard Knocks, if you saw the preseason and all the mic'd ups, that's what you really noticed, is that when he would make a play like that and he would go to the ref and be like, did you see that? Like, that is what fires and fuels Caleb Williams. So if you let him have a couple of those plays, there's no chance for the opposing team once Caleb gets rolling in that way. But Yeah, thanks again for Blaine Bishop. Like I said, he played safety. He's a all-pro, four-time Pro Bowl safety for the Tennessee Titans. He now covers the Tennessee Titans for 104.5 The Zone. Yep, 104.5 The Zone up in Tennessee. So he's very familiar with this team. They've been talking about it. There's a lot of question marks. It's funny that I'm seeing some of these things on Twitter from Bears Twitter, you know, the sleeping giant comments, and maybe it's a trap game and all of those things, because here in Jacksonville, people are like, no way Titans are winning more than four games. And so you don't want to be this Bears team that loses to the Titans when most people around the league and in their division are looking at them as one of the easy wins for the season. One of the teams that they don't see winning more than four or five games. Got to go in there. You're at home. Caleb Williams debut, all of this talk, all of this hype with Hard Knocks and with the Hall of Fame game and all of these things. You've got to go in. You've got to win. You've got to win confidently. You got to be vocal about it. You got to leave that stadium with fans being like, times are changing, because I really feel times are changing, guys. And it's been a long time. I'm emotional, I'm anxious, but I'm ready. So it's time to bear down, and I will chat with you guys some more on Sunday.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.